From NPR News in Washington, I'm Louise Schiavone. There's a state of emergency in Louisiana with Governor Bobby Jindal advising a strengthening tropical storm could flood low-lying coastal areas. Meanwhile, forecasters say Tropical Storm Debbie will continue to move slowly through the Gulf of Mexico. Already, Florida is seeing squalls and a possible tornado, and tropical storm warnings are also posted for Alabama. But as NPR's Russell Lewis reports, Texas may be where the storm ultimately comes ashore.
Debbie is a bit disorganized, but it's gaining strength in the warm waters of the Gulf of Mexico. It's also sending uncharacteristically large waves crashing ashore. Officials in Panama City, Florida, and Orange Beach in Gulf Shores, Alabama, closed their beaches because of the high surf and dangerous rip currents. Under the current track, Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana are expected just to get heavy rain, but forecasters believe Debbie will strengthen into a hurricane over the next few days and march west to Texas. As always, predicting a storm's path and intensity is an inexact science, and emergency officials across the Gulf Coast urge people to monitor Debbie's progress. Russell Lewis, NPR News.
Hot, dry, windy conditions have fed wildfires in the West, with Colorado struggling with one of its most severe seasons in recent memory. As firefighters continue to battle a massive blaze west of Fort Collins, another one has emerged near Colorado Springs. Joanne Hughes lives in Manitou Springs. She's among 13,000 residents of the area evacuated by the Waldo Canyon fire. She spent the night watching the fire's red glow spread across the ridgetops.
You know, it was one of those things where you're like, this is really beautiful, but this is really bad.
The fire now covers more than 3 square miles. Egypt's first free elections in history have resulted in the election of that nation's first Islamist president, Mohamed Morsi of the Muslim Brotherhood. He won just under 52% of the vote to 48% for former Prime Minister Ahmed Shafik. As NPR's Soraya Sarhadi-Nelson tells us, Egypt's military is not ready to surrender broad powers.
They have issued a supplementary constitutional decree, which will give them all sorts of power, including a sharing in the legislative authority, since parliament was dissolved by a high court here in recent times. And that's one thing that they're going to do. They're also going to retain control over themselves and over important issues like declaring war, you know, key policies. So there's little doubt that this fighting that's been going on between the Brotherhood and the military-led government for power will continue.
NPR Soraya Sarhadi-Nelson reporting from Cairo. This is NPR News in Washington. Britain's Conservative Prime Minister David Cameron says he plans to push through radical welfare reforms. Larry Miller reports that some of the moves specifically target young people.
Cameron says the British benefit system sends out strange signals to society, that it keeps some people in the welfare trap and discourages them from working while giving no help to others who, he says, do the right thing. Speaking to the Mail on Sunday, Cameron outlined plans to scrap housing benefit for 380,000 low or no income under 25s who receive state aid of around $650 a month. Cameron says this will force them to get a job or live with their parents, saving the government around $3 billion a year. On top of that, unemployment benefits of nearly $500 a month may also end for those who aren't looking hard enough for a job. For NPR News, I'm Larry Miller in London.
The Sacramento Bee is reporting that California's biggest state workers union has tentatively agreed to a way to address the challenge of government overspending. The Service Employees International Union Local has reportedly told Governor Jerry Brown that covers workers will take 12 unpaid days of leave over 12 months starting July 1st. The furlough plans calls for a 5% monthly reduction in wages, but gives employees some flexibility to schedule the time off. The U.S. Post Office is struggling to stay alive, but in one New Hampshire town, the consequences are extreme. The Sugar Hill Post Office hours have now been reduced to 1/2 hour a day. I'm Louise Schiavone, NPR News, Washington.